Well, good evening. I'd like to thank everyone for the opportunity to get up here and speak before the congregation. I'd like to thank Ron for his encouragement, as well as all the other members who are always a blessing and an encouragement to us men who get up here and try to preach as well as Ron does every Sunday. It's such a blessing to have him. And it is truly a blessing to be given this opportunity, one that I do not take lightly, as I can assure you that it is a lot hotter in here for me than it is for anyone else in this building right now. Recently, I read an article online, and this article pertained to a class of children with their teacher. And the teacher was preparing to send cards home to their mother. So the teacher, in her wisdom, thought about ways to stimulate ideas for the children. So she thought, she asked a bunch of questions to these children. So when the class started, she asked her first question. And the first question was, what are some ingredients that mothers are made of? Okay, seems like a good way to go. And the first child, Debbie, age 5, answered, God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of me. So then Jeffrey, age 6, piped up and he said, what are some ingredients that mothers are made of? They had to get their start from men's bones. Then they mostly use string and duct tape, I think. So the teacher, realizing where this is going, changed the question. She said, well, let me ask you this. What kind of little girl was your mom? And Luke, age 6, said, my mom has always been my mom, and none of that other stuff. Sarah, age 7, chimed in and said, I don't know, because I wasn't there. But my guess would be she was pretty bossy. And Greg, age 5, said, they say she used to be nice. So the teacher took a step back and said, wow, this is not going the way I really wanted it to go, and changed her approach. And she said, what are some ingredients that mothers are made of? And Debbie, age 5, again says, God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world. Oh, I'm sorry, I read that already. I'm not the regular preacher, by the way. Aiden, age 8, says, I love my mom because she let me get a dog, and then she let me sleep with it. I hope she lives forever. And that's where I am. Okay. Brianna, age 6, added, my mama is the best mama in the world. She lets me share the chocolates in her lamp table drawer. She reads to me, and we sit on the porch swing together. Ethan, age 7, adds, I love my mom because she lets me read my book under the covers with a flashlight. It gives me lots of chances to pick up my toys. And finally, Jonathan answered. He was age 8. He said, My mom, she's nice. She's beautiful and pretty as a butterfly. That's my mom. Clever as a whale, warm as a fuzzy bear. That's my mom. Soft as a pillow. She laughs like an angel. That's my mom. Caring, cool, and clever. She's the best. That is my mom. Just make sure I was at the right place. So after this, I started thinking about this, and I started thinking about my wife, and I will now share the answers that came to my head to these three questions. And I also started thinking about all the wonderful women in this congregation and how I've observed them over the last, I think it's about 9 to 10 years now. And I asked myself, what is so special about mothers? And there are three conclusions that I came up with, even though I know it's not an exhausting list, but three I want to share tonight. And the first one, mothers are so special because they have an unconditional love for their children. The Bible has many references to women who show unconditional love in many different ways. And the first one we want to look at is Moses' mother in Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, and then we'll jump down to verse 9. So let's start reading. Exodus 2, chapter 1. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and dabbed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the river bank. And then jumping down to verse 9. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. So what I want to examine about this passage, very well-known passage, is that Moses' mother cared for her so much, she was willing to break an ungodly law to prevent Moses from physical death. So let me ask you this. Have you ever experienced a time in your life when you were trying to do the godly thing, but you were having pressures to conform to this world, and your mother was there to help you through that? Your mother was there to keep you safely on track on the narrow road. Your mother was there to keep you in the fold of God. While you may not have appreciated it then, what if I told you she was acting in the same capacity as Moses' mother? Now, she may not have saved you from physical death, but what about spiritual death? Where would you be today if it wasn't for all the times your mother stepped in and helped you along the way? It's a good question to ask each other. Another scenario are the two mothers before King Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 27. 1 Kings 3, starting in chapter 6, verse 16. Then two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, "Oh my lord, this woman and I have lived in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. Then on the third day after I gave birth, this woman also gave birth, and we were alone. There was no one else with us in the house. Only the two were in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while your servant slept, and laid him at her breast, and laid her dead son at my breast. When I arose in the morning to nurse my child, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning, behold, he was not the child I had born." But the other woman said, "No, the living child is mine, and the dead child is yours." The first said, "No, the dead child is yours, and the living child is mine." Thus they spoke before the king. Then the king said, "This one says, 'This is my son that is alive, and your son is dead.' And the other says, 'No, but your son is dead, and my son is the living one.' And the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So a sword was brought before the king, and the king said, 'Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other.' Then the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because her heart yearned for her son, 'O my lord, give her the living child, and by no means put him to death.' But the other said, 'He shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him.' Then the king answered and said, 'Give the living child to the first woman, and by no means put him to death. She is his mother.'" So the real mother loved the child so much that she was willing to give him up forever rather than see any harm come to him. While I doubt your mother has ever put you was ever put in a position where you were about to be chopped in two, I want you to think of it this way. Do you ever remember a time when your mother went without something in order for you to have what you needed? Whether it was school supplies, braces, clothes, shoes, food. At some time, I think we all have experienced it. How does that make you feel when you think about it? How much does a person have to love in order to do that for you? How much does that person love you? And then the third example is the mother of James and John in Matthew 20, 21. Matthew 20, 21. And this is starting verse 21. "And he being Jesus, said to her, 'What do you want?' She said to him, 'Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and the other at your left, in your kingdom.' Now I'll be the first to admit, her request in regards to the subject matter was way off course. But let's look at this deeper. The mother loved them so much that during her time with Jesus, she was more concerned about them and their position than herself. So let me ask you this question. How many nights do you think your mother How many nights do you think your mother was or still is with Jesus praying for you? Praying for your spouse? Young ones, praying for your future spouse that you don't even know yet, hoping they're a godly person. Or simply praying to God to keep you safe, both physically and spiritually. I bet if you ask any mother in this room, it would be more than they can remember. And the point is, that I'm trying to make, is that they could be praying and spending time with Jesus about themselves. They could be asking for strength, for guidance, for their needs, for their wants. But she put herself aside and took that precious time that we have with God in order to pray for you. How special is that? The second reason mothers are so special is because of the power of their influence. And there is little in this world that compares with the power and the influence of a mother, or the power of the influence of a mother. And the first thing we need to realize is that motherhood is a lifelong position. Titus 2, 3 through 5. Starting in verse 3. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderous or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. So let me ask you this. How many jobs do you know are lifelong appointments? Presidents leave office. People eventually retire from secular work. Children graduate from school. But a mother job never stops. Unfortunately, the world has convinced itself that once the children are out of the house, they're no longer your problem. You've done your job. They're adults. Enjoy yourself. But if that was the case, why would Paul command older women to train young women to love their husbands and children? It is obvious that God deems this position so important and so influential that He commands it. As an adult, have you ever called your mother, or those who have a wife of your children, have you ever asked her for advice on how to handle something when it comes to the children? Why are we so drawn to them in these cases? Is it because of their influence that we have had in our lives that draws us in? Is it knowing the unconditional love they have for us that we know that they will steer us in the correct path? I think we all know the answer to that. Godly mothers, regardless of age, time of day, or what they have going on, will always take time to train us so the Word of God will never be reviled. Another reason why a mother's influence is so strong is because a mother's faith will influence her children's faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. 2 Timothy 1, 2 through 5. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I so long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt in your grandmother Louise, and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure it dwells in you as well. So what do we get from this reading? Paul is quick to point out that Timothy has a sincere faith, and that faith came to him from his mother and grandmother. You will see it was through their actions that Timothy, as a child, learned the expectations that God has set forth to become strong in doctrine and one who could stand as a man of God, fearless with the power of love and self-control. 2 Timothy 1, verse 17. Now, let's get one thing straight. I'm not saying that your faith is inherited by your child, but it is passed down from one generation to another through influence of both parents, but the mother especially, because they have this close bond. And it's because of their upbringing. And let's read 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 15. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from who you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which you are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's remember that a mother has a bond, a special bond with their child that no one else in this world will ever have. You come from your mother. You come out of your mother. There is nothing that anyone else can do beside your mother to make that happen. Your father cannot make that happen. You come through your mother, so you have a special bond with her. So the question is, for the mothers out here, what memories of your faith will your children and grandchildren carry of you? Are you setting them up to be the next Timothy? Or someone who just shows up on Sunday for 2 hours and then goes about their business? God has granted you a unique gift of influence, and I pray that you are using it to your full advantage in this manner. And the third point, why are mothers so special? Simply because of what they're made of. Proverbs 31, which we won't read for the sake of time, is about a good woman. And parts of it talk exclusively about mothers. So let's point out some characteristics of a good woman. In verse 11, it tells us she is trustworthy. Verse 17, she is strong in her convictions. Verses 19 to 20, she is soft and merciful, caring for the less fortunate and demonstrating compassion. Verse 21, she is optimistic. Verses 22 to 25, she is strong and dignified. Verses 13 through 16, 24 and 27, she is hardworking. And finally, we will read verses 28 to 31 together. And I have it up here on the board for you. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And the point that I want to make out of that, and it's talking about a good woman, but especially down here where they talk about the children rise up and call her blessed, God says if you do all that, everything that's in there, and you're a mother, that you surpass excellent women. What higher praise can you get than that from God? In closing, I read a story one time in a sermon handout of a mother of a large family. And the preacher of that sermon, and his name escapes me, I apologize, said that she found motherhood to be a great privilege. So what was her secret? What made it so special? Let's read this together. When my children were young, I thought the very best thing I could do for them was to give them myself. So I spared no pains to talk with them, to teach them, and to be a loving mother to my children. I had to neglect my house many times. I had no time to indulge myself in many things which I should or would have liked to do. I was so busy adorning their minds and cultivating their hearts' best affections that I could not adorn their bodies in fine clothes. However, I kept them neat and comfortable at all times. I have my reward now. My sons are preachers of the gospel, and my grown-up daughter is a lovely Christian woman. I have plenty of time now to rest, plenty of time to keep my house in perfect order, plenty of time to indulge myself in many ways besides going about my master's business whenever he has need of me. I have 1,000 beautiful memories of their childhood to comfort me. Now that they have gone out into the world, I have the sweet awareness of having done all I could do to make them ready for whatever work God calls them to do. I gave them the best I could, myself. I can't help but wonder at times, do we take this for granted, how special our mothers or the mothers of our children are? Young people, do you truly understand how much your mother loves you? Do you know how many times she thanked God for the joy that you have brought into her life? Do you know how many times she has stood at your bedroom door while you were sleeping to smile at that bond that you share with her? Do you remember every time you were sick how she would nurse you back to health? When you were in pain, comforted you? When you were down, cheered you up? So my question to you is, when's the last time you thanked her for everything she did for you? I pray that all of us will spend a little time tonight reflecting on how special our mothers are. And men, how special our wives are. Let them know. Give them a call if you can. If you can't connect with them, just spend time reflecting, knowing how wonderful things are in your life because of her. And I bet before the end of the night, you will bring a smile to your face. The next time you pray, stop and thank God for all that she has done, because I know that she does it for you. And to mothers out here in the congregation, thank you. Thank you for being so special to all of us. Thank you for all you do, and I pray to God that we never take it for granted, and that when you get on to us, that all of us, teenagers, husbands, even the youngest ones out here, stop and realize that you're doing it out of unconditional love. The one person we haven't talked about tonight is Jesus. And Jesus is a lot like mothers. He has unconditional love for each and every one of us. A love so deep that he was willing to come down here and be crucified on a cross, tortured, murdered, so that one day we can join him. One day, if we live up to it and live on the path and listen to him and listen to his love and listen to his influence, that we could see heaven. What was Jesus made of? He was made of the best that God can offer. He's the best example of how to live our lives. He's a lot like a mother, and he will take care of you. And if you're a Christian and you're here tonight and you swayed off that path, just like a mother, Jesus is sitting there waiting for you to give a call, waiting for advice, waiting for you to pick up the Bible and see what he wants you to do. He will never, no matter what time of night, no matter what's going on, he will stop and talk to you through the Word. He will be there for you. And if you're not a Christian, unlike being born into a family, you can't be physically born into Jesus' family. You have to be spiritually born into his family. And how do you do that? You hear the Word of God. You believe that Jesus is the Christ. You repent of your sins. You confess that he's the Christ. And then you're baptized in water and put on Christ to walk faithfully for the rest of your life. Whatever your need is, I hope that you come forward as we sing and as we pray.